In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. Well, just, I'd like to explain about the yesterday. Pastor Wang says, because of, at that time, so, my wedding anniversary is closing. So I feel sorry. I'm in Hawaii and she's here. So I try to call a few times. When she say I love you, what can I say? So just say okay. So I just responded as I love you too. You know? But that's my explanations. Hawaii is a really wonderful place, and somehow Jay assigned me to Hawaii several times. But it's not a vacation, so it's very different, you know. When you go to Hawaii, if you have a vacation, they're so, you know, excited. You know, you just go have you have a fun. You know, but every time you have assignment, it's a spiritual convocation or, you know, like SSC plus. You know, last time June, they say it's a retreat, so I thought every day maybe 2-3 hours maybe enough. I thought, and then Pastor Juan called me. It's wow, it's more than spiritual convocation. It's more like SSC plus adult spiritual convocation. So it's 20-some hours assignment. Oh, no. it was very... on the way, I saw you know, stress. Even on the way playing, and playing about to arrive in Honolulu, I feel, oh, how can I handle all these hours? And I really stressed at that time. And... all the brothers and sisters in Hawaii, they're so friendly. They are big, but their heart is so soft and gentle. And here the brother, we had a wonderful time with him to chatting. Hawaii, first things you can find out is sea, you know, clear crystal seas. It's a blue sea. It is truly beautiful. During my retreat, Those here been to Hawaii know that Polynesian Cultural Center, that we had a retreat in front of there. So in front of there, which means right in front of the sea. You know, it's there. Every morning, oh, I cannot sleep about 40, then I have to wake up. Pastor Huang wake up, I wake up somehow. We have to wake up, I don't know. But we wake up and then... go out and see the sea. At that time, it's the water coming in and out. How to call for this? Waves, tide in and out. Right in the morning, tide out. So calm and so peace. Oh, that was wonderful. Hawaii. This I say, Hawaii is between the paradise and earth and the between there. So I, but then a lot of assignments. So I only just dipped in my feet, but I brought my swimming, because Pastor Wang asked me to brought a swimming trunk, but I never use it anyway. But it was a great, you know, good experience. Every time I go there, it was a wonderful experience. Then I talk my wife, when the children go to high school, then let's go there, have a few days. We never been there together. She been there 2 times. But because of the church matters, NCC, and then I for the assignment, so each time is an own way to be in Hawaii. So, and Hawaii, the food is wonderful. Oh, their food is really wonderful. You know the papaya? Oh, that's great. Morning, you cut the papaya, you know, and you eat the morning. So it's very hard to have a fasting there. You know the banana? I'm sure because you don't eat the banana. Sometimes you eat the banana but because it's good for your health, so that's why you eat the banana. It's just like a tomato here. But banana in Hawaii is very different. Oh, once you eat one, so you want to eat another one. But you have to look around people, so you just take away another one. The banana is so good. And they have a pineapple. Pineapple, it's there's no special pineapple. There's no... the stomach, there's no acid, banana, the pineapple. Oh, that really good. Especially the Maui, they brought this special, when we have a special occasion like a spiritual convocation or gathering, then they brought a several box of this pineapple issues. It's really big. It's not like here outside, you know, Dale pineapple, you know, this, you know, it's very different. So I hope you, well, it's my blessing, so I just share with you. I'm sorry. let's go back, let's go to the 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, toward to the chapter 1, the last portion, so talking about verse 12 to verse 14. Especially the 14, yesterday I mentioned that chapter 1, verse 14. Just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud, as you also are ours, in the day of our Lord Jesus. And here the Apostle Paul focuses on here is a pride. Our own selfish way pride actually destroyed us, because the pride came from, you know, came from the own ego, its own selfishness. But here, the Apostle Paul, talking about the pride here, it's different. Pride is came from the love. When you love somebody, you know, when I love my children, and somebody praise my children, then I'm so proud of it, because I love them. And same thing like a Christian. If we love each other, then we have a great reason to be proud of our brothers and sisters. We are proud of our church. This matter we're talking about here. So pride, this kind of pride is so precious, it goes until the last day of our life, and even the coming of Jesus Christ. So that's why it's a meaningful pride. This helps us and also gives us confidence in our belief. Why we believe in God, and why we love our brother and sister, and gives us a great reason to tie up each other for glory of God. Next section, chapter 1, verse 15 to 24. And in this confidence, I intended at the first to come to you, that you might twice receive a blessing, that is to pass your way into Macedonia, and again in Macedonia to come to you, and by you to be helped on my journey to Judah. Therefore I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or that which I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes. Yes and no, no at the same time. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, and was not yet yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many as may be the promise of God, in him they are yes. Wherefore also by him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Now he who established us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our heart as a pledge. But I call God as a witness to my soul, that to spare you I came no more to Corinth. Not that we lorded over your faith, but are workers with you for your joy. For in your faith you are standing firm. So we started this last portion. There's one those who study the sociology, what do you call that? Socialists? Anyway, the, you know, the, some of the people who studied the socialist, society, and he observed the people who make success in this world, and then he find out a few things. These important asset help the people to make the successful life. What he's saying is, so it's not in the Bible. The first one's IQ. IQ, you know IQ, right? Your intelligence and how smart you are, which is, you know, later on. So IQ, it's a part of make your life to success. So high IQ is really blessing that, you know, come out. Because we cannot control it. It came from our parents. But actually, it's not parents, but it's part of the gift from God, we can say. Second one is knowledge. Knowledge is the second qualification to make a successful life in this world. IQ is very high, but there's no knowledge, then this IQ doesn't that much kind of helpful, that what he's saying is. And the knowledge, it seems like the software, and your intelligence is the hardware. So you have a Pentium 4. Now it's more than Pentium 4, right? Anyway, Pentium 4 and plus no software. And then this Pentium 4, no necessary. I mean, nothing help at all. So what? Pentium 4. So just turning your machine turning. So what is the benefit to you? But if you have a good software in the computer, and there's many different software, but there's a good, you know, better software, then actually product, you know, come out to maximize and better things come out. So you need a good software, which means, so you need a hardware, you need a software, is what he's talking about. Another one is skill, applications. But you have a good software and good hardware, but you don't know how to use your software. You don't know how to utilize, you know, the Pentium 4, you know, to combine with applying with the good software. Then no matter how wonderful software, no matter how wonderful computer you have, but you cannot use it. You cannot maximize. Such like, you know, you have a Pentium 4, and then you have a many good software in the computer, but you only know MS Word. Then you can just, and even you don't know all the function of MS Word, then actually you don't need, you know, Pentium 4. Is that true? You know, just only simple things come out and you can use it. So applications, what he's saying is a skill, how you can apply what your knowledge, your intelligence, use it to utilize to for your life. So that's what he focused. So 1, 2, 3 he mentioned, but this is very important qualification to make your life to successful. And then he mentioned about the fourth one is attitude. He's talking about attitude. He observed all the people in success in this world. Those people have a positive attitude, they make a successful life. So attitude is, he mentioned that attitude is 93% of your success. So all these four qualifications, IQ, which is hardware, and your knowledge, which is software, and your skill, your applications, and fourth, your attitude. Your attitude is 93%. It depends on the attitude you make in life to success. So you can tell, maybe you have a good IQ, maybe you have a lot of knowledge, you know how to apply these things, but your attitude is negative attitude, you cannot make a successful life. That's what he's end up, his conclusions. So attitude makes your life make it different. Maybe your IQ is a little lower, because we cannot control IQs. I try to do my best, but I cannot control my IQs. That's why I never become a number one in the class. I try a few times and then I give up. Then I say, oh, that's my life. No, I cannot control. That's IQ. Knowledge, you pursuing your life. And then you can, you know, build up, you know, you can, you know, follow to, you know, college. Then you got some, at least a certain amount of knowledge in your brain, your mind. And skill, you keep learning process, you know, kind of repeating and helping by other people. So you learn about it. So this is, you can help each other. But attitude, it's come from, it's you. So attitude is makes a whole your life make a difference. 93%, he mentioned that. And then we think about Christian life as the same thing. Now before we go on, we think about this way. Do we have a Benz 600? Benz. Mercedes. Well, the Korean called the Benz, not Mercedes. Mercedes is too long. Anyway, let's say you have a Benz. Mercedes, you know, 600. I don't know there is about 500 some. I saw it. Well, best one I'm talking about. You know, the Mercedes here. And the road is well paved, a nice road. So what I'm saying is, there is a hardware. Makes sense, though. And then there's a paved, you know, nice way, which is a software. And then you have a driver, well-skilled driver. You know, driving, it takes time. When you start to drive, doesn't mean that you can compete with like a, you know, 1 year experience and 10 year experience of drivers. It's very different. You know, when you right next to the people who drive about 1 month, and you know how you know. Especially if you sit in right next to the driver. When before driver push the brake, you push the brake. You know yourself. Because not comfortable enough still. So driving skill, it also takes time. So I'm talking about Mercedes 600, the well-paved road and wide enough. And then there's a good driver, skillful driver is there. But the driver become a drunken driver. What do you know what happened then? The drunken driver and get into the Mercedes and then turn on the engine and push the accelerators. It turned out to be on suicide machines. It makes sense? Yeah. Attitude is like this. So attitudes. Christians' attitude is the same things. When you when we believe in God, God give us all the, you know, hardware, software. So we have a hardware, software. But, and also he gave us Holy Spirit. You know, well paved the way that let us go. But if our attitude is not a way like a positive, you know, with confidence in the Lord, if we do not have an attitude to follow God faithfully, then the problem is there. So, Here the apostle mentioned about the Amen. God, so when we believe in God, we have to trust in God all the time. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. So here the apostle talking about, no matter anything happening in his life, he can trust him. So he knows his way is the best way. Maybe he has a plan beforehand. Maybe he has a plan to visit the Corinth. But now he changed the plan. But it's not based on his idea. But that idea, it came from God. So this idea is always yes. That's how he trusts. That's how he follows his way to his ministry. So that's why his ministry makes it successful. Yes, all the time. So anything there's difficulties in his life, but still he remember God. From God, everything is yes. Because he is a good driver, that's why. That's why he can drive a Mercedes to reach to the final destinies, you know, right destinies. So yes, very important matter actually, as a Christian. When you look at book of James, God is good. God is good. When you encounter any kind of trials, you know, consider it all joy. Why? Because God is good. Let us always remember that. Sometimes when we encounter troubles, anything happens in your life, anything happens. Sometimes, like, you know, in a young age, such as like a, you know, disaster, like a car accident. For example, like become a half paralyzed in our bodies. We can complain to God. Why my life like this? Why somebody else that doesn't have experience like this, you know, doesn't have this kind of a life, but why I have that kind of life? All kind of bring up the as a complaint to God. Why? Because we don't trust that God is good. But remember, but God's idea is toward to the end. What God want to give it to us, that is the matter. God promised us. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Same chapter 1, 20, verse 20. For as many as may be the promise of God, in Him they are yes. Which means God is good. God is good. You know God's promise? Once He promised to us, He never changed. He never changed His mind. Once he say the promise, then He keep the promise. That's the Bible tells us. You have to trust this promise. Then you can receive this promise end up. Let's look at the Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You and I, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Trust this word. So anything happens, that's okay. You know, I talk to my wife, says, no matter anything happened to me, say to God, thank God. Because my destiny is already predestined by God for the best ones. So on the way, if anything happened, doesn't matter. And when I also, in my mind, toward to my family, anything happened to my children, anything happened to my spouse, still I'm ready to say thank God. Because there's a reason. Because God gave us and gave me the best one for my life. Because I know that my destiny is. We know that. You know, in this world, we live in this world 60, 70, 80 years in this world. But this is not it. This is only on the way. That's why the Bible tells us, you know, the book of Hebrews tells us we are sojourners. We are sojourners. You know, we just live here for some time and then we disappear. This is not our permanent place. Our permanent place is in the kingdom of God. Our heavenly kingdom is our place to live. So that's our destiny. On the way, anything happen, but the Bible clearly tells us we know that all things together to be good because our destiny is kingdom of God. Yeah. So anything happen in our life, when we kneel down to pray to God, of course it's a suffer sometimes. Sometimes hard to bear, but still we can say, thank God. You know the Job. When he, in his life, he encountered such a terrible instance in his life. All the children is gone. They're all gone. And all the property is gone. But what he say to God, he prays to God. Because he has the sense. So when we believe in God, if we believe in God as conditionally, then sometimes yes and sometimes no. But if we believe in God unconditionally, then every time say yes. Why? Because we know God is good all the time. From everything happening in our life, if Yes, God is good, then yes, everything. That's why yes means what? Amen. Yes means amen. It will be done. Amen. That's Christian's life. So that's the attitude we can overcome the difficulties. So I mentioned the chapter, whole chapter once. Attitude of saint under the trials. I mean, even the topic that we are discussing in the class, but we discussed the whole, you know, last few hours together. The attitude of saint under the trials. Always we keep the promise. God promised us. Do not giving up this promise out of your hands. Because this promise is guaranteed. Let's go on to the chapter 2. So if you you have already have a lot of assignment, right? So you don't need assignments. That's okay then. When I was in NYTS, I always wish that the teacher give us a less homework. I already have enough. I feel like But what I wish here in my class, you get something. So you can not only from here, but hear something. So it applied to your life. And also, why the Word of God is so precious? Why the Word of God gives us so comfort and encourage us? Why Word of God is so sweeter than the honey, milk and honey? Then it's enough that fulfill my wishes. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11. But I determined this for my own sake, and that I would not come to you in sorrow again. For if I cause you sorrow, who then makes me glad but the one whom I made sorrowful? And this is the very thing I wrote you, the least. When I came, I should have sorrow from those who ought to make me rejoice. Having confidence in you all, that my joy would be the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you that with many tears, not that you should be made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially for you. But if any has caused sorrow, he has caused sorrow not to me, but in some degree, in order not to say too much to all of you. Sufficient for such a one is this punishment which was inflicted by the majority, so that one of the contrary you should rather forgive and comfort him, the least somehow such one be overwhelmed by the excessive sorrow. Wherefore I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. For to this end also I wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. But whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for you, your sakes, in the presence of Christ, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes. I read until verse 11. You know that nowadays is people more emphasize than EQ than IQ. People discover the EQ is very important. Emotional, what is it? IQ, the Q, something major. You know EQ, right? Have you heard about EQ? Emotional quotient. Okay. That's EQ. So now people more focus on the EQ, because when the old time, they focus on the IQ, which is let the children run faster than other neighbors' children. So the parents focus on learning faster, you know, and then ABC faster than other children. So they get better grade in the class. That's IQ. They focus on the IQ. But the EQ is more like a personal relationship and that all, and also children themselves, their own confidence, to building up themselves. So they learn them to social skill. So they make them to be better quality of life. That's more focused on the EQ. So EQ is actually very important things in our life. When I read the chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, what I learned is, you know, the Apostle Paul, he has a concern, he has a deep concern about the member in Corinth. But he knows all the truth. He knows that you know, there's something, the people, they commit sins. They have to, the certain way of to instruct them and chastise them to recover them, to be back to the right way. But at the same time, if we too much on this way, and it also turn out to be backfire, which is it's not give you know, to be positive impact to the church. So he knew that, this kind of impact. So he understood all this, so he concerned about the church in Corinth, the member in Corinth. Let them have the will to guide them. So they let them, all the member in the church, to have a true joy. And also, church is full of love, instead of the coolness and also the righteousness only in the church. So here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 mentioned that, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan's, for we are not ignorant of these schemes. You know, the church can be cool enough. You know, this is right, and this is wrong. Anybody commit wrong, then just cut it out. We can do that. The thing is, if we continue on doing this, people to be too scared. There's no love then. Love, based on the love, we can do this, then it works. But there's no love, but only do this according to the word of God, then there's a problem. That's what Satan looking for, the whole, to destroy the church also this way. You know the revelations, the church in Ephesus, they have all kind of will to serve God. They discern the right and wrong and true and false. But what they lost the first love. Which means even God warned them, if you continue this way to the way to do manner as a way to do your church, I'm not shifting my will to others. You have to repent, that's why. Because you need a love. And when you look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 mentioned that Father of mercy and God of all comfort. It's a very precious word. It's a very precious word. You know what the meaning of mercy is? Then I asked this. I know the mercy. Yeah, we know the mercy means. Mercy, the original meaning of a mercy means mother's wombs. Mother's wombs. You know, when we have when we make a mistake, usually whom you're looking for first, when you're, you know, children, when you're children, looking for mother. I do not looking for father. I'm looking for mother. Because a mother, you know, if mother hold it, then that's a shield, you know, a security shield from father, you know. So, you know, of course, the both sides is important. It makes the balance. If only one side, then we cannot grow up properly. But at the same time, we need this side. We need this side in our life. Mercy gives us for purpose, but it gives us replenish, which is gives us a life. Mercy is that. When you dried out yourself out of your container, that you know you need mercy means somebody gives you water, so give you refresh yourself, give you new life. That's why the mother always, when we remember our mother, means there's a love. You know, sometimes when you're so tired from your work and stress yourself, but every time you remember your moms, and give you a new hope and a new, you know, revives your spirit. Because that's such a love and a mother. Yeah. So God, here the chapter 2 here, chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Apostle Paul really concerned about the member in Corinth. First Corinthians, he telling them all the instructions, and also he already knew that their problem, so telling them, you have to correct, you have to change yourself, we have to repent, all the pinpoint out everything he mentioned to them, so make them to sorrow. But maybe I say too much, maybe. Maybe sorrows, maybe pull, you know, the joy out of you. So he worried about even that, even in the sense here. So he's talking about that. But he meant to, what he meant to them, to send this that letter to them is from out of his love. So he explained that. Verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should I made sorrowful, but that you might know the love which I have especially for you. He's just showing the concern, a true concern. My concern is, it's not trying to judge you. My concern is not just, the cold way, the stern way to what is wrong and what is right. But my concern is a true love. I make you to make a true joy out of you. And that's his heart. It's showing here to the member in the Corinth. And the later part is chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Here says, so that one on the contrary, you should rather forgive and comfort him. He mentioned that those I mentioned in a member in the Corinth, they enough to be shamed in the public, in the church. So they already received enough consequences. If they have intention to repent, please accept them with the love and forgive them so that they're showing the true love. So do not let the Satan make the hold them. If they're already enough to receive the shameful face from the member, if they say they're giving up to believe in God, then which means the Satan make them hold to, walk away from God. So do not let it happen to them. So bring them into the church to be as a family to holding them. There is a story, there's two friends, and they work on the same way for their business. And then there is a way, it's a hill on the other side. But he just, I think it's somehow in the river on the down there. But on the way, river, and he drink the water, but he cannot swim very well. But then he's very hot, so follow with the current. So he cannot swim well, which means about to die. His friends help him to save him. So the both of them rich men, the businessman. So he asked his servant, there's a big stone. And then he carving in on the stone, say, in this place, my friends, save my life, in carving there. And then later on, many years later on, they passing to the same path. But on the way, these two friends turn out to be, they argue each other and they kind of, in a little fight. But it happened, they, hurt each other about the same place. And then he ran down to the just plain, the dust, soil, he write down, in this place, my friends hurt my heart. He's right there. And then his servant asks, before you asked to bring the stone to right there, in this place, my friend saved me on the stone. But how come you write this time on the soil, soft soil, you write this one? And then the friend says, because that one, I want to remember for whole my life. But this instance, I hope that this one is be erased soon. That's why he just write in the soil. You know, this is, you can learn from this is, you know, Apostle Paul's heart. He doesn't want to remember all the bad things in the Corinth, but he wants to remember all the good things. That's the heart of the apostles. Is it 10:10? Is it finished? Okay. We go on to the chapter 2, verse 12 to 17. And this is another section. Fragrance of Christ. This beautiful one. And this is that we can learn out of here too also. So we can go on because we have 2 minutes. Hopefully you can go back to, you know, the always my note is simple. So because of my writing is terrible, I usually submit to GA, make it simplified, and then this way. But I hope you can go back to topic that we can discuss in the class, the chapter 1, attitude of saint under the trial. I hope you can meditate upon it, what we discuss, and after finish chapter 2, you can meditate upon the fragrance of Christ. It's the beautiful one also. Continue that it really meaningful. And 2 Corinthians, when I read 2 Corinthians, this time is the first time I really studied 2 Corinthians in this manner. So, before we studied just briefly study and more structure in what the simple way. But this time I more focused on the feeling. Actually, I learned a lot this way. So I'm sure because you also can have a chance to study in this manner. Because the 2 Corinthians is really illogical book, you can say. When I read, you know, because when I prepare the 2 Corinthians, every day I read chapter 1 to chapter 3, every day, but segment by segment, I understand. But whole thing, I don't understand. How come it's so different? You know, I cannot get it. So I changed my method, and I just go to chapter by chapter, section by section. But that helps more.